in the Lord's house. I tell you, when they sung that song about I get to go in, I said, I started to stand up and testify. But I thought about how many people probably is in this room, this sanctuary tonight, or watching live stream. You're more excited about and making a greater effort toward fitting in than you are getting to go in. More excited about getting to trying to fit in, be popular, accepted, pats on the backs, so forth, rather than being excited about getting to go in. Our churches are plagued with large numbers of people that profess that they know the Lord and want nothing to do with Him. I paused there on purpose. I want that to sink in. A lot of people make the claim that they know the Lord, but they don't want nothing to do with His will, His word, His work, His warfare, His worship. They don't want nothing to do with it. But yet, going to heaven one day, going to live with Him forever and want Him to talk to Him now. I've got a problem with that. I believe we're trying to get a lot of people revived that needs to be regenerated. If you've got a profession only salvation, I'd get rid of that tonight. If all you've got is a profession, that's it. No fruit, no evidence, no heart for God, I'd get rid of it. I'd get rid of it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It may not get much better than that tonight. But I'm glad to be saved. We need revival. Revival is not an option. As long as it's an option, you'll never have it. But when it's essential, when it's absolutely essential, then you can have revival. No doubt about that. Let's open our Bibles tonight. A verse that has already been quoted tonight in the service. And I'm not preaching because it was quoted. That was just an added blessing, added confirmation. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. We're going to read some verses prior to that, but we're going to focus our attention tonight on verse number 20 tonight. Amen. Boy, I enjoyed that good singing tonight, didn't you? Wasn't that a blessing? That didn't used to be my kind of singing. That didn't used to be my kind of music. I can tell a lot about you just what you listen to. Say amen right there. I mean, back to what I said a moment ago, a lot of people claim to be saved. And everything on their life is the fingerprints of the world. Everything they love is about this world. Everything they're after is about this world. Everything is horizontal, but yet they're going to go on a vertical trip one day to heaven. God saved me out of that. My whole life was attached to this world. Everything I was after, wanted, desired, was in this world. The world had its fingerprints all over me. Amen. But when I got saved, God did exactly for me what He said He would do in the Scripture. He saved me from my sin. And I'm thankful for that today. Amen. If He didn't save you from anything, then He's probably not saved you unto anything. So I trust that you'll listen. This thing's winding down, friend. Even lost people, even unsaved people, they don't know. A lot of them don't know Bible prophecy. They don't know a lot of the verses, but they know something's up. They know something is happening. Amen. And if you've ever been ready to go, you better get ready to go tonight. Because I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. Things that we have heard of all of our lives that Bible prophecy preachers would point out that this is going to happen. This is going to line up. This is some things that's going to unfold. They're in our headlines. And have been. Does that do anything for you? Does that stir you in any way? Is it difficult days? Yes. But it's the most likely day for us to have revival. Because revival has never come in days of prosperity, in days when everything was fine. Revival normally comes when it's dark and bleak and terrible. Amen. And God just moves in to the impossible and says, let me show you what I can do. We're suffering now because of what God, man can do. We need to see what God can do. We need to see what the Lord can do. I want to pray, and then we're going to read starting in verse number 14 of Ephesians chapter 3. And then we'll read the rest of that chapter in just a moment. But I'd ask you to pray with us and for us tonight. We cannot afford to let one service slip through our fingers. I want everybody to understand that. I know many of you are tired and wore out and so forth. But try your best to get your mind on the Lord tonight. Try your best to get your heart to where God can speak to you tonight. Don't be satisfied with just being here. And if you're miserable with just being here, I wouldn't even wait on the preacher to pray. I'd go ahead and make my way to an altar if I was miserable for being here, not wanting to be here. And I can relate because that's the way I used to be before I got saved. I ran away from home over that thing. Daddy said, you live here, you going to church. And I ran away from home over that. So you tell me that you're saved and you don't have a desire to go to church and love it. Something's wrong with that. Something's major wrong with that. But I'm glad I'm here tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're not here tonight to be seen or to see. We're here tonight, Lord, for your purpose. We want you, dear Lord, to do a work in your people and your church for your cause. Lord, there's a lot at stake. Lord, the devil's bringing out the big guns. The devil's bringing out his last day efforts to deceive and, dear Father, to seduce people into believing things that are not true and turning their back against the things that are true. And Lord, I pray that you will help us in these days, Lord, to have our eyes set upon you and fixed upon you and have our heart fixed, Lord, upon you tonight. Lord, I know that, Lord, these people here today doesn't need to hear what I'm going to say, but they surely need to hear what you're going to say. And I pray that you will speak to us. Lord, if you don't speak, Lord, then nothing I'll say will matter. I pray, dear God, that the Word of God will come alive to us and us alive unto the Word. I pray, dear God, that you will revive your people again. Lord, I'd ask you to stir my heart tonight, Lord, like never before, Lord. I've been saved, been preaching 41 years. But dear Father, I want you to stir my heart in these days on a greater level than ever before. And Lord, you have that. It's available for us. And I believe until we're stirred, we'll not do much. We'll not be effective. We'll not accomplish much. Lord, we'll not move in your direction, Lord, wholeheartedly. I pray, dear Father, that you'll rend the heavens tonight and come down. Lord, I know that you very seldom ever do what we don't want you to do. So I pray that every person on these pews will look at their heart and ask themselves, what is it that I really want you to do tonight? What do I want God to do tonight in my heart? What do I want God to do in my family? What do I want God to do in my church? What do I want God to do in my community? I pray, dear Lord, if we don't have a desire, you don't have nothing to work with. Lord, please help us. You said you'd give us the desires of our heart. And Lord, if we have a desire in prayer, Lord, that gets your attention. May your will be done tonight. Give us liberty And also give us leadership, dear Lord, to have the utterance of the Spirit, to be led of the Holy Ghost, what to say tonight. We're not here to perform. We're not here to just pass the time. Lord, we're here on purpose. And I pray that eternal things will take place this week, Lord, not temporarily, but permanently. Lord, until the last breath leaves our body, we'll be living and walking in the evidence of what you did at Morningstar Baptist Church here in this revival effort. May your will be done tonight. Lord, give us clarity of thought, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 3, we'll start our reading in verse number 14. And we'll notice right off the bat that Paul is praying. That shouldn't be a surprise to us, because if you go to Acts chapter 9, when the Apostle Paul got saved, he hadn't been saved but just a very short period of time. And God sent Ananias over there. And what did he say Paul was doing when he walked up? Behold, he prayed. Hadn't sat in any prayer classes, hadn't sat in any do better classes or even any discipleship training. I mean, he knew immediately that I'm saved, I need to be talking to my Father. That's just normal for a child to talk to the parent. And so we find the Apostle Paul once again praying. And we know Paul was probably one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, probably the greatest Christians that ever lived. But I believe his praying, probably God used his praying probably more to form him and develop him than his preaching. And you can tell when God's moving in revival, such as the one I got saved in, you'll notice there'll be a prayer emphasis. There'll be a prayer emphasis. People, without even being asked, will come early to church and get in a Sunday school room somewhere and pray, or get in an altar to pray. There's a consciousness that comes upon God's people that I need God, and He will work if I ask. He won't work if I don't. And they come and pray. Amen. Amen. Time is not of the essence. It's not the important factor. The meeting I got saved in went 7 weeks just to the services. It actually is continuing even to the present day, 41 years later in my heart. But revival broke out in Middle Fork Baptist Church in 1981. I was the first one to get saved and the first one to surrender to preach. God did great mighty things in that meeting, and I've never seen a move of God on that fashion, on that level since then. I've seen God move, but not on that level. Amen. And there was a hunger for God. I don't believe we'll ever see revival till there's a hunger for God. And you know your hunger for God will show up in your praying. If you have a pathetic praying, you never pray, there's no yearning within you for God to do something, guess what? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Amen. And listen, we would get to church early. I don't know why I'm telling this. We'd get to church early. I worked in Hendersonville, which was an hour commute back home. And everybody, just about everybody, would get there early, get in the Sunday school room, spread out, get everywhere you can get a corner and pray. And I mean, heaven was on the scene before the starting time ever came. And the service many times would last, start at 7, 7:30, would last to 10, 10:30, 11. You say, oh, preacher, I couldn't handle that. Oh, yeah, you could if God's hands is all over you. I promise you, you could handle it. You could handle it, amen. And then after the service was over and people we dismissed, nobody wanted to leave. Many times late, many times my pastor would dismiss and nobody would move. He'd walk to the back of the church and dismiss, say, y'all are liberty to go, and nobody would move. He'd walk back after a few minutes of silence. He would walk back up to the pulpit and something else would break out. Somebody else would say, preacher, I need to get saved, amen. People couldn't leave. Sinners afraid to get in their car. Amen. Amen. Are you listening? One young man, I don't know why I'm telling this. Maybe you need to get hungry. That may help you to get hungry when you hear something about it. Amen. Brother Ricky Patterson was walking out the building one night, lost without God. And at that time, that church, the older church, it burnt down, but that older church had about 20 steps off that front. It was on a bank, and it was going way down. And he was walking down those steps, going to his car, and was going to leave. Amen. You'll have to get in or get out when God gets to moving. And he decided, I'm getting out. And he was walking down that big set of steps. And he got to the last step, and he picked up his foot to step on the ground. And God said, you don't take that step. You better turn around. He said, if you take that step, I'll never deal with you again. I'll never speak to you again. I'm done with you if you take that step. He came back in the church and told this lady, he said, I stopped that in midair. And fear of God gripped his heart. And I turned around and made my way back up the church steps. In the front door he came, and back and down the aisle he came. He didn't come to a pew to sit down. He came straight to the altar. And he got gloriously saved. And he didn't know it, but his wife was on the other side of the communion table getting saved as well. I'm telling you. Amen. And we'd stay after church 30, 40 minutes, either down in the fellowship hall or up on the hill behind the church. Amen. The more God moves, the more uncommon the services will become. Amen. When God gets to moving, you'll have the idea, well, I'll pretty much know what's already going to happen. You know, we're going to do this and this, and this will be the layout. No, we're going to have to go. We're going to church. We're going to see what God's going to do. No telling what God's going to do. Amen. No telling what God's going to do. That ought to be in the atmosphere around here. Your pastor said y'all been praying. Pastor said y'all been praying for quite some time. I'm not sure how long. How long, brother? Could you help me with that? 2 or 3 weeks or what? A month been praying around here. Brother Jackie, if y'all are wanting revival, you should be a month already a head start on it. Because God will do for you in prayer. God will do for you in secret what he'll have a hard time doing in a crowd. Anyway, we find Paul's praying. Amen. Listen, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Paul lets us see something very important right there. What's driving him to pray is a cause. You know why a lot of people don't pray? They don't have really nothing driving them. There's not a cause. There's not something that they're trying to accomplish in their life. Paul said the reason I'm a man of prayer, he didn't word it like that, but that's what's behind the scene. He's a man of prayer because there's a cause within him. Wasn't that what drove the little David? Is there not a cause? Amen. We need to be cause driven. Revival is a cause. Revival is about a cause. It's about the cause of Christ. Amen. Look at it again. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That word dwell means to feel at home. I wonder if Jesus, even inside the church, feels like a stranger. I wonder, even in your home, there's so many carnal things and so many worldly things that would compete with him in your home, amen, that he doesn't feel at home. Have you ever been somewhere where you may have knew the people, but you just thought, man, I'm out of place. I feel out of place. Feel like a square peg in a round hole. Just don't fit in. I wonder how Jesus feels in your hearts. I wonder how Jesus feels in your heart. Paul's praying about that, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. that he would feel at home, that he would feel comfortable. Everything in your heart would be friendly to him. Everything in your heart would be that which would honor him. Amen. Amen. That's right. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. If I could find one statement in the Bible that would be the summary statement of everything we need, yes, right there it is. Paul is saying that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Amen. How can you fulfill the will of God without being filled with all the fullness of God? How can you stay steady and steadfast and consistent and persistent? How can you stay that way unless you're filled, controlled, saturated with the Spirit of God? Amen. We don't hear a lot of preaching on that today. We don't hear a lot of preaching about that. But your relationship to the Holy Spirit of God is the most important relationship that you have as a Christian. Everything, listen, I didn't stutter, I said everything that God is doing in this dispensation, he's doing it with two things, not four, 15, two. Two. You ought to be able to remember two. What is he doing it with? He's doing it through the believers he indwells, and through the Bible he inspires. Amen. Amen. How's your relationship to the Holy Spirit? How's your relationship? How's your fellowship? How's your communion with the Holy Spirit? Is he able to lead you? Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God. Amen. Amen. And I want to tell you, I know for a fact, myself personally, when you're not right with God, you're not right with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God's grieved in your life, the Spirit of God is quenched in your life, nobody has to tell me that. I know it. And I don't look at that as something nice. No, it's okay. It's not bad. No, I get upset about that. Amen. Because my joy is gone. My peace is gone. Still saved, but miserable. Amen. Let's read on. So he's talking about that they might, that we might be filled, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And let me make another statement right there real quick. Because some of you may look at that and say, oh, well, yeah, preacher, you know, that was Paul. Paul wrote that, you know, a long, 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 long time ago. So that really don't apply to me. But what you need to understand, the great truth behind the inspiration of the Scripture is that it keeps it alive. It never was just what God said years ago to whoever. It's still alive. When it says in that passage, when it says in that passage right there, when it said that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Yes, right then it was talking to the Ephesian believers, the church at Ephesus. But I want to tell you that the inspiration of the Bible keeps it alive in my day and in my life. And when it says that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, that ye is me. That ye is me. Amen. Thank God for the inspiration and preservation of the Word of God. Amen. When you read it, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I want to tell you, when you read the Word of God, it's going to read you. That's why a lot of people don't even read the Bible. They say they're saved, but they don't even read the Bible. Amen. Are you listening? We'd probably be shocked how many people in this building tonight haven't read your Bible today. Probably there's some in here hadn't read your Bible in a week. Can I say this tonight? Revival is not that far away. Revival is just on the other side of you picking up your spiritual responsibilities and doing them. Amen. We're wanting, here's what we're wanting. Now we can agree or disagree tonight, but it's the truth. We're wanting God to send revival, and we're wanting God to work without us doing nothing. We're wanting God to work without us changing. We want God to come and change our country. And we're wanting God to come and change our communities. And we're wanting God to save sinners. But we don't want Him to change us. Revival starts with you. Draw a circle and get in it and say, Lord, send revival inside this circle. Amen. Well, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right there. Amen. We need revival, friend. Playing church, that may have been okay for some people years ago, but there's too much at stake. There's too much on the line. There's too much at stake now. Oh my goodness, there's people that is just within a breath of going to hell. There's people that's within a step of going to hell. It'll be known in the community. It'll be known in this area before the sun comes up in the morning. Somebody's died during the night. There's too much at stake. Playing church will not get it done. It'll not get it done. The devil's got too much of a grip on sinners, and our little playing church is not going to set them free. They're going to have an encounter with the power of God. Amen. They're going to have an encounter with the power of God. And listen, I've looked around in here tonight. There's some older saints in here. There's some older saints. I'm 61. There's some older saints in here today. You know what I'm talking about when we talk about the power of God. That's not foreign. That's not an alien thought. That's not something that we need to define. We know it. We've seen it. We've been a part of it. Amen. And if you have, it ought to be in your heart. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. We don't need just good services, Lord. We need God services. Amen. Oh, me. I've never said that before. Amen. We don't, how many said it? Don't raise your hand. You'd be satisfied with good services. As long as you're satisfied with good, you'll never be wanting what is great or the greatest or the greater. Amen. 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 That's right. Oh my goodness. Good is not good enough. Oh well, I'm okay, preacher. I'm doing pretty good. I'm praying. I'm good. You know I'm good, preacher. We're good. That won't get it. Not now. Not now. Not in our day. No. Morning Star Baptist Church, let me tell you something. Let me say this to you. Lord gave this to me a few weeks ago. Put it in my heart. You're either making a move toward becoming a last day church. A last day church meaning you're going to be a church that God can use in the last days. A church that's going to have a light shining in the darkness in the last days. A church that's going to be standing for truth in the last days. You hear me? So you understand what I'm talking about. Moving, Brother Jackie, in a direction, amen, toward becoming a church that God can use in the last days, or becoming a last day church. And I've been preaching to our church and challenging our church in that same thought line, because here's why. God spoke to my heart as clear as a bell. It's probably been a month ago now. He said, you're either moving toward becoming a last day church that I can use, or you're living out your last days as a church. Morning Star Baptist Church, I guarantee you that applies to you. You're either going to be a last day church, or you're living out your last days as a church. You say, preacher, that can't happen. Are you serious? Are you serious? Surely you wouldn't believe that. There's been churches that have closed down in our area that one time was on fire for God. You think it can't happen here? You think this church right here couldn't fold up? Do you think right here that preacher, it can. And you talking about circumstances that would encourage that? If there's any quit in you, I promise you this, the day we're living in will fertilize that and fuel that. If there's any compromise in you, we are in a day that will fan that fire of compromise. Amen. If you've got any gear in you called reverse, where you're backing up on your convictions, backing up on your stand for God, backing up on your devotions with the Lord, if you've got a reverse gear in your Christian life, I'm telling you, we're in a day that will fuel that. But going backwards never fixes anything. Compromise never fixes anything. We need to go forward. We need to say, Lord, we're not living our last days as a church. I'm not living my last days as a Christian. I want to be a last day Christian. I want to be a last day Christian. I want to be a last day preacher. I want to be a last day saint of God. I don't want to be living out my last days as a Christian. Amen. It's time. It's time. It's time for the Lord to work. It's time for the Lord to work. Amen. Psalm 119, 126. It is David praying. It's amazing how some of these things comes up in prayer. David was praying and he said, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. He said that with urgency. He said that as if he believed that God was the only one that could, the only one that would, the only one. Amen. Lord, it's time for thee, Lord, to work. Look at the scripture before us tonight. Ephesians chapter number 3. I stopped reading verse 19, but now look in verse 20. Now unto him that is able. Now, I don't know if you've done any of those word studies that's in verse number 20, but I'm going to tell you before I even start that what is talked about in verse 20, almost every one of those words is in the present tense. That ought to mean something to us because that's when I'm alive. I'm alive in the present tense. I have a present tense God. This is a present tense Bible. And amen, look at it. Now unto him that is able, not was, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I want to give you some definitions out of that verse. Because I'm going somewhere in this verse. Look at that word now. I'm not going to really hone in on that too much, but I just want to show you that Paul is coming to the conclusion of his prayer, and he said now. As if to say, this is what I've been praying about, the purpose, the goal of all that I've been praying about from verse 14 down through these verses is now fixing to be revealed. Now unto him. Now unto him that is able. Let's look at that word able. I like it. I think we need a reminder and a refresher tonight of who our God is. By the way, I believe Paul's letting us know of who he was talking to. I think we forget sometimes when we're praying who we're talking to. Paul said the one I'm talking to is able. The one I'm asking to help is able. The one I'm praying to because I need him is able. I'm praying because I'm not able. I'm praying because he's able. Amen. Now unto him that's able. That word able there just simply means able to do something. To be capable, strong enough, powerful. Have power by virtue of his own ability and resources. That's what that word means. Well, I'm glad my God is able. We need to be reminded of that here in 2022 with all of the junk going on a global scale. I need to hear it again that my God is not politically bound. My God, amen, doesn't have to give a congressional approval, amen, to move. He can move this week if he's got somebody that'll pray, that's somebody that'll be hungry, somebody that'll say, oh God, if you don't move, we're sunk. If you don't move, we're sunk. If you don't move, some of our children are going to miss heaven. How many in this service tonight, you've got, as far as you know, you've got lost children that's not saved? Would you raise your hand? Look at that. How many in here's got grandchildren? As far as you know, they're lost. Raise your hand high. Look at that. How many of us know somebody that's lost? Who is it, Brother Jackie, that's got to be on the scene for any of these kids, grandkids, or even those that we just know that we work with, or a neighbor, or a school associate, or whatever? What's necessary? The Holy Spirit of God. God is, I can't. You got children that's lost. Yes, you can't save them. No, he can't even put them under conviction. No. He can expose them to the Bible, and I'm certain he does. He can expose them to truth, and I'm sure he does. But I want to tell you, a parent would love to be able to save their children. Oh, you might could save them, my friend, from a burning house, but you can't save them from a burning hell. Oh, my goodness, that requires that God be on the scene. And parents today with lost kids, they're so casual about it. They don't even make sure that their child is in church all the time, hoping that maybe God will use the Sunday school lesson, God would use some singing, God would use the preaching, God would use something, somebody's testimony, that God would use. Amen. 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 And the first place God is going to hold the blame for children that are not saved is the home, particularly the parents. Amen. Parents, I don't want you to respond outwardly, but inwardly just ask yourself, how disturbed am I over my child being lost? How burdened am I over that? How broken am I over that? Ask yourself, am I more concerned about their grades than I am them knowing God? Am I more concerned about them hitting a ball over the fence or being able to shoot the basketball in the hoop and be the best player on the team? Hey, parents, I've seen them, and I've done my part of it when my boy was growing up. I remember when he played T-ball, you know, that's about the smallest league you can get in. And I remember him hitting it, and it went out in outfield there, even with T-ball. Of course, it takes them 45 minutes to get the ball and then throw it and run, and everybody's chasing each other. But my boy was running the bases. I mean, he wasn't that big. He was running the bases. Guess what old Preacher Ackley was doing, or Daddy? I was running the fence. The dugout fence, I was all over that fence. I was a hollering and a screaming and amen. And I went and sat back down after he made the home run. And I sat back down and everybody around me said, do you preach like that? I said, come and see. Come and see. But how many parents would look at that and cheer their children on, but their child's lost? When's the last time you talked to them about it? When's the last time you prayed over them and with them about it? I believe we'll see more kids get saved. I believe we'll see more kids get saved if mom and daddy get more serious. Something you say, preacher, they're young. Are you kidding me? Just in Knoxville, just in the last few days, I think they had her funeral on Saturday. A 21-year-old preacher's daughter. I mean, a gorgeous young lady. And she was just crossing the road, crossing the street, and a big 18-wheeler hit her, and then another truck hit her, and she died. And it was told me that even though she was in that atmosphere at the home, in her home, a preacher's home, that as far as the one it was telling me, now knew her personally and closely, said, as far as I know, there was no profession, no clear testimony that they knew the Lord. 21 years old, gorgeous young lady. Hey, I'm going to tell you, the devil is no respecter of persons. He don't care what home you're raised in or what church you go to. He doesn't care. You won't go to heaven because who your mama is or who your daddy is or who your pastor is. You don't go to heaven because you're religious and know a Bible verse. Amen. You go to heaven because there was a place, there was a time and place in your life that God dealt with you and you did business with God about your soul of over sin. Amen. Amen. I don't know why I'm on this. Amen. Amen, that's right. Parents, listen to me. I beg you, get serious about your children. Amen. They're not accidentally going to get saved. Nobody accidentally gets saved, and your children certainly are not going to accidentally get saved. Amen. We talk about Timothy in the Bible and the great Christian he was, probably the greatest pastor in the New Testament. Probably was the greatest pastor in the New Testament. And he got saved as a young child because he had a mom and a grandmother that cared enough about him to do what? Teach him the Word of God. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Amen. But we've let cell phones and iPads and TVs and social media and gadgets of every description raise our children and raise the grandkids. I heard a statistic yesterday that the average young person spends 9 hours a day on social media. 9. Calculate all of that up over the course of several years. If you live to be 40 or live to be 60, and that proceeds, and it is habit forming, it is addiction. They didn't start out watching 9 or playing 9 hours video game. They didn't start out that way. It's an addiction. And mom and daddy says, well, they're quiet, so let them... I'm good with it. They're quiet. Yeah, one day their voice may be real quiet in your home. And you're having to live with regrets and live with memories. And I would have, wished I had, I could have, but I didn't. I was more interested in my own life. And I believe a lot of parents, listen, you can get mad if you want to. There's a lot of parents tonight. There's a lot of parents that are not being spiritually what they need to be to win their family. Because it would mandate they change. And they love their life. They love their hobbies. They love their casual Christianity. Go to church occasionally. Read a verse occasionally. And they like their life. And they know if I'm going to reach Junior and Sissy, I'm going to have to change. And they don't want to change. You know, you don't like that. The flesh don't like that. But you know that's the truth. Your child does not need a pal. Your child needs a parent. And if you get parents and the preacher teamed up together, working together, standing together, there isn't a child in this church that couldn't be reached and won to Christ. Amen. Amen. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh, amen. Joshua stood and faced the whole nation and he said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. He laid it out there. Make it, it's a choice. It is still a choice. It is still a choice. If you, carnality is a choice. Spirituality is a choice. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. And went on through that appeal and he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Boy, I tell you, I feel the Lord right here. I know we're, listen, I don't care if we're scattered or not. I've got good leadership, good liberty, and I'm telling you, I'm dealing where the rubber meets the road. We'll never, you can't hardly expect children to be serious about spiritual things unless mom and daddy is. I know there's exceptions to that. I know there's some kids, we have some foster parents in our church, and they've got some kids that I'm telling you, their mom and daddy, they're as sorry as dirt. I mean, just, oh my God. Some of the stories they've told me is just, oh my goodness. But you church kids, you may have your mama sitting on your pew with you right now. May have your grandparents in the service tonight. You're a blessed individual. If we could have a home revival, we'd have a church revival. I believe it's a waste of time to pray for our church to be revived when we're bypassing the home. Yep. Amen. I believe if daddy being the high priest in the home will step up and be the spiritual leader in the home and be real. I've had children. Listen, I've had children tell me if what mom and daddy's got is Christianity, I don't want no part of it. I've had them to tell me that. And I knew them. I still know them. You know what that meant? Preacher, what you see out of mom and daddy at church is not what I see or hear out of them at home. It's almost impossible for a preacher to reach that scenario. That scenario right there. It's about difficult, almost impossible for the preacher to reach that kid, because I'm going to tell you what, they're so overwhelmed with the hypocrisy of mom and daddy at the house. Go to church and amen, raise their hands, take part in the service, testify, sing, whatever, and go home and cuss like worse than a sailor. Amen, filthy mouth, and I mean anger issues and all of that. Kids don't have no confidence in that, and you'll never win them to God until they have confidence. Amen. Amen. The devil's after your children, and that don't have a thing to do with Ephesians 3. But I'm telling you, God is, oh my goodness, my heart is burning even now over that very issue. We need God to work. We need God to work. Why? Because He's able. Preacher, my child's too far gone. Don't you ever say that. Don't you, it may look like it, but don't believe it. Don't believe it. Amen. Amen. You're listening to one that everybody said was too far gone. Yes. You're looking at one right here that everybody in the community, everybody was telling mom and daddy, he's too far gone. He's done left the house. He's ran away from home. He's running with the wrong crowd. His truck is absolutely full of that garbage rock and roll music hatched out of the bottomless pit. Great. Are you listening? Great. But mama wouldn't have it. Mama said, I know he's not here, and I know he's not in church, and I know he's gone, and I don't even know where he's at, and I don't even know what he's doing. I don't even know who he's with, but I'm not having it. I didn't bring my son in this world for him to die and go to hell. Amen. And mama, of all people, went on the war path. Amen. You've heard my testimony. I've told you here before. And I'm telling you, mama said, no. No. No, if the devil gets my son, it won't be because I've give him to him. We need some mamas with some good old-fashioned Bible attitude, amen. That'll get aggressive toward your children, living for God, getting saved first, and then living for Jesus. Amen. If you're okay with them being wicked and wild, that's exactly what they'll be. If you let them run with whatever friends, hey, their friends will mold them. If you want to know what your children are becoming, look at their friends. Look at the music they listen to. Look at the heroes that they have. Does that bother anybody in here besides me? Does that bother anybody in here besides me that kids in our churches, their heroes is not church people. Their heroes is not the preacher. Their heroes is not mom and daddy. Their heroes many times are dope smoking, beer guzzling, movie stars, sports stars. Now you tell me we're not dropping the ball, friend. We're dropping the ball big time when our kids in our church, you don't think that's right? I travel around, Brother Aldridge travels around, and others in here may. I want to tell you what I'm seeing. I go to churches that don't even hardly have one young person in it. Where are they? Hey, if we're not dropping the ball, would somebody please help me with that? Where are the kids? They was in the little beginner class at one time. They were in the primary class at one time. They was in a little junior class at one time. Hey, they were in the teen class at one time. But then what happened to them? I know what happened. We've introduced them and kept them exposed to dead religion. We've kept them exposed to just coming to church, and it's just the same old every Sunday, same old every Sunday night, Wednesday night. Amen, that's right. No lasting fruit, no changed lives, no power of God. And when they start getting teenage years, the glitter and glamour of the world starts catching their eye. And I'm telling you, my experience, When they ever start noticing, when they first get a taste, brother, of the pleasure of being noticed. When they first feel that, oh, he's looking at me. I seen her looking at me. And all of a sudden, pride creeps in and self-importance takes over, and now it's not I need to be saved, it's what do I need to do now to climb the ladder a little higher, because the higher I go, the more people that will see me. And then they start dressing accordingly. They start dressing accordingly. Are you listening? They can. I'm going to be plain. Now, I don't want none of you to get embarrassed, because if you let your children watch TV, I promise you they hear everything under the sun. But you can let your daughters dress like floozies, and they won't be one. But if they continue to dress like one, they will be one. Modesty is a matter of the heart. The outward is nothing but a dress rehearsal or a dress display of what's on the inside. And when kids get that glitter and glamour in their eye, and they get a taste of that, and they start noticing their heroes has a lot of that, oh, they're like, oh, I want, oh, I'm gonna cut my hair like she's got hers. I'm gonna start wearing that. I'm gonna start doing that. I'm gonna start being like that. Try to win them to the Lord. I challenge you. Try to win them to Jesus. If you don't get them when they're early, young, their heart's tender, if you don't reach them then, it's going to be hard to reach them. It's going to be hard to reach them. And you young people don't think a thing about it. Some of you looking at me strange. That's all. Hey, I've been in this thing a long time. That don't bother me.
Go ahead, Ricky.
I've been where you're at. You've not been where I'm at, but I've been where you're at. I have authority to talk to you. I know the path you're on, and I know the direction you're going in. Are you listening? If anything I've been preaching right here in the last few minutes, which has been an insert, and it has nothing to do with the text, it's just an inserted message. And somebody better listen. Amen. I know God's voice. I know God's voice. I know God's leadership. And I discerned that real early on, that needs to be dealt with. There's no, listen, come on now. If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't care what you think. I'd preach some little feel-good message, you know. That's what the TV preachers does, little feel-good stuff. No, we don't need no feel-good preaching. We need some live-good preaching. We need some life-changing preaching. Amen. Amen. There's no reason, Brother Jackie, that this revival right here could go down in history. Not because I'm here, but because we are here together. And if people would be willing to move toward God and get serious about your spiritual life, first make sure you're saved. Mamas, daddies, kids, everybody, make sure you're saved. That's all important. Because if you're lost, it don't matter how you live. You can live a religious life and still wind up in hell. Look what the verse says. Now unto him that is able. Now unto him that is able. I'm going to run through these quickly. Now unto him that is able to do. That word to do simply means to produce, to cause to happen, to construct, form, fashion, bring forth. He's able, not just able, but he's able to do. And he's able to, listen, all I've been preaching thus far, he's able. He's able to do. Amen. There's not a father in here that can't get right with God or else go to another level spiritually. There's not a mother in here that couldn't do the same. Go to another level spiritually and mean it with all of your heart. Apologize to your children. Oh my goodness. I guarantee you that needs to happen. There needs to be some daddies. Get your family out after you get home, or maybe even in the altar. Call them up and say, let's go get in the altar. And the first thing you daddies might need to do is say to your children, I'm sorry. I apologize to you. You've heard me talk. You've seen how I act. You've saw both sides of me. And I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. And do it with a broken heart. No pride. No pride. Honor comes after humility. Amen. Some moms would probably be good to you for you to say to your family, I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. I'm sorry. I've been a bad example. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I talked about the preacher in a negative way. I'm sorry that you've heard me be a gossiper and a talebearer. I'm sorry about that. And apologize to your daughter. Apologize. Show some realness to your child. Very seldom, Brother Aldridge, I'm talking about very seldom, that it happens the way it's happening right now. And I'm as sure on track as if I'm telling you. I don't have to have a confirmation. I know in my heart. Amen. And on the other hand, I might as well just finish that. Some of you children ought to get right with your parents. You need to apologize to your parents for being a stinking rebel. I had a grandmother, I preached in North Carolina the other week, and I had a mom come to me after the service and wept. First time I'd ever been in that church. I didn't know none of the people. I knew the preacher just a little bit. And this mama come up to me after the service, and she's broken and about her son who was there that night. She said, Preacher, he's so rebellious. He is so rebellious and disrespectful and back talk and sass and I mean talk to mama and daddy like they're dogs. And of course, might as well mention it, he was a gamer. Imagine that. I've seen that go together. When they spend all their time doing that, it makes them so angry. I was preaching in Cherokee, North Carolina last year in a revival for Brother Consine. And there was a man told me at the service, said, "Preacher, my boy," and he was standing there, said, "My boy's room has got pictures all over the walls." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, but they're not there for looks." He said, "They're there to cover the holes where he gets mad because he couldn't go to the next level on that game or that monster killed him or whatever it was." And he would throw things through the wall and he would punch the wall with his fist. And what did daddy do? All he'd do is go buy another picture and hang up over it. So ain't nothing to that. You can believe that if you want to, friend. I've studied on it and the effects of it. The effects of that. But that mama's talking about how rebellious her son was. Couldn't do nothing with him. I want to tell you, kids, listen to me. I don't know if I'm dealing with one or more. But if you're rebellious, you said, "Mama's not going to tell me what to do. Daddy's not going to tell me what to do." When God put them in that position, let me tell you who's in charge of your life. Let me tell you who's in charge of your life. Ephesians chapter 2 says it very plainly, that the one that's in charge of your life is the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The prince and power of the air is the devil himself. And when you find a disobedient, rebellious child, that is a fingerprint and a footprint of the enemy. The devil himself is at work in a child that is disobedient and rebellious to their parents. You know why that is? You know why the devil tries to get them when they're in the cradle? You know why the devil wants them while they're in diapers? You know why the devil wants them right there? Because he wants to train them up and use them. And rebellion has never been the fruit of the Spirit. It's never been the evidence of a saved person. Rebellion has never been the evidence of a saved person. I'm going to tell you what we need tonight. We just need to get right with God. Everybody needs to. If you're right with God, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I like it. But I think we probably all could get more right. I think we can get more close. I think we can get more serious. Don't you? Don't you think it's time? Don't y'all think it's time? Do you think this revival right here could go down in history, Brother Rochester, as a mighty move of God that hit Packlet, South Carolina in February of 2022, and chapters was wrote after that. Chapters was wrote after that of all that God did, how that God moved in the community, how God moved in the church, how God started spreading, and it went down the Union, and it went up to Spartanburg, and then it went across the state line into North Carolina, and revival went south, and it went everywhere. Amen. And I'm not being a smart aleck what I'm about to say. If I knew y'all weren't interested in that, I'd go home tonight, because I know in my heart the rest of the week it'll be a waste of time. But we're here tonight, you're here tonight. And it's time to get honest. Amen. It's time to get honest. It's time to do business with the Lord. Amen. I'm about done. I didn't get their text, but that's all right. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding, that's over and beyond and more than, abundantly, exceeding the need. He's able to exceed the need. Abundantly, above all, each, every, everyone, everything, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But here's the part that you need to understand. According to all that's included in that first part of verse 20, as big as it is and as God as it is, it's got a condition according to the power that worketh in us. God can work through us if He can work in us. If He can't work in us, then He's not working through us. And would you agree tonight that we need what God can do? We need to see what God can do. We need to be on the receiving end of what God can do tonight. If He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, I'd like to see what He can do. I want to see what He can do. But the first place it starts is where? In me. In you. Are you willing? God will never send revival apart from your will. Are you willing? I brought this here tonight to illustrate what I was planning to get to. Everybody knows what that is, don't you? Preacher, I don't know what that is. If it's not digital, I don't know what it is. It don't look like an iPhone to me. That's an hourglass. And here, what he said in this verse tonight, he said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, comma. And then he gives the condition according to the power that worketh in us. This upper side right here, that represents God. That represents all that's in God. And this on the underside is you and me, us, the church. What God has, He wants and has designed that it be poured out into us. Amen, that's right. And I'm not going to get into it because y'all didn't give me plenty of time tonight, but look right here. Right here is the most important part. Right there is the most important part. Everything that's up here can only get down here passing through that small area right there. That represents and gives us a good idea of illustration of the Holy Spirit of God that can be easily grieved, easily quenched, easily resisted, easily offended. What happens then? It clogs it up. There's all kinds of applications there. I may preach that at another time, but I'm telling you, God wants to do something tonight. God wants to pour out in you. God wants to pour out into your life, pour into your life the very thing that's in Him. The very life He has, that's what He gave you when He saved you. He wants to put in you His nature, and He did when He saved you. He put His Spirit in you, His Spirit in you when He saved you. But if we're not careful, we'll get everything all bent out of shape and we'll do this. No, I'm going to put God on the bottom and I'm going to be on the top. I'm going to direct my own life. I'm going to do what I want to do and nobody's going to tell me any different. You know what happens then? All that is in God stays in Him. But it's only when you get in the right correlation to Him with your life, under Him, submitted to Him, surrendered to Him, amen, connected by the Holy Spirit, that He is able to flow into you His cause, His purpose, His power, and you can be used mightily for the glory of God. Oh, there's so much in that. There's so many applications to that, so many truths that are represented right there in that, but I'm not going to preach that tonight. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I come in Jesus' name tonight. Lord, I want to thank You for, Lord, speaking to my heart and helping me tonight. Lord, I prayed and I do pray. Ask God that You would help me to have my mouth be Your mouth and I'd say what You want me to say. Lord, we've got to be challenged about where we are. We've got to be spoken to about where we are. If we don't ever get honest, we'll never have revival. We've got to get honest. I've lost ground. I'm not where I need to be. Some may need to get honest and say, all I have is a profession of faith. I don't have a changed life. I don't have a heart for God. I don't have a desire for God. Lord, help mamas and daddies. That seemed to have been a great insert in the message tonight. Mamas and daddies, they need to get serious. Get right. Lord, if the home will get right, mom and daddy get right, the children get right, husband and wives get right. Lord, that'd be a major, major step to an outbreak spiritually here. Lord, you've told us that you're able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. You've done told us that. But it's according to, parallel to, the power that worketh within us. And no doubt that is the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray today, God, that you'll help every young lady, help every young man to get in an altar tonight and say, Lord, I don't want to be one that just fits in. I want to be one, Lord, that walks with you. I want to be one that you can use. I'm not interested in being popular. I'm not interested in being the show. I want to be used of God. I pray for Morning Star Baptist Church. Lord, that you'd move mightily here today. Lord, please help us to receive what you've sent to us tonight. Lord, please have your way. Please do a work, Lord. Lord, I believe, Lord, you put an emphasis on the home tonight. Without a doubt, you did. And I pray, Lord, that tonight will be the night that there'll be some people making wrongs right. There'll be some tonight. Maybe you need to go to the pastor and apologize. Maybe you need to go to the pastor's wife and apologize, or a fellow church member, or somebody in their Sunday school class, or somebody that sings beside of them in the choir that they're holding hard feelings against. Lord, they need to get that right. If we'll get the channel clear, Lord, everything that's in you will flow into us. Lord, I pray your will to be done, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us to get ready. Help us to be prepared, Lord, for what you want to do. If we're not wanting you to work, it's for sure, Lord, you're not going to do anything. If we're not wanting you to work, Lord, truthfully, Lord, we need you. You need to work on us when we're like that. I pray your will to be done, this invitation, in Jesus' name. She's playing. If you got a song, go ahead.
To you I owe what none could pay.
You need to come. Bring your kids. Get in the altar. Pray over.
The debt of faith.
Your kids don't want
to
come. You come by anyway. Pray over them. Pray for them.
A portion small would be to rob you of it all. With peace I rest beneath your wing, not bound by gain or earthly thing, not satisfied unless
you
find
God speak to you tonight.
Me set apart and holy thine.
Amen.
Tis you I love and nothing more. To you my longing doth implore. To cleanse my mind and train my sight.
Oh God, help us tonight.
To shield me from the snares of night. I dare not waste my time nor breath. Tis yours to hold, paid by your death. Not satisfied unless you find me set apart and holy thine.
Amen. Before you sing that second verse, I was preaching up in Brother Jeff Brown's church up in North Carolina. He told me there were 7 kids in his church there that night that was not saved. I don't even remember now what I preached that night. But God turned the service somewhat like this tonight. Mamas and daddies got in the altar. Grandmother, grandparents got in the altar. And they were spread out all the way across that altar. And they were weeping before God over those grandkids or kids in the service. And those kids were sitting out there on the pew, and they was hearing mama crying, oh God, save and calling their name. Heard grandma and grandpa calling their name and leaving a puddle of tears on the altar. They couldn't stand it. One by one, here they came. They come. I couldn't stand it. And they got saved. Every one of them got saved but one that night. Wonder what would happen tonight if they saw mama get up out of the altar with tears and wiping tears. See daddy get up out of the altar with tears running down his face. If we don't have a home revival, we'll never have a church revival. Amen. Sing that other verse, sis.
A life of wealth, a life of ease. The life compassed by vanities. Amen. Those pleasures draw and sins elude. To worldly dreams often pursued.
Yes, yes.
O Lord of mercy, hear my cry. For strength and wisdom to deny. Not satisfied. Unless you find me set apart.